Today's story is about bribes, headstands, and literally moving mountains. It's also about me, your host, Anupam Kher, but mostly, it's about making you smile. Welcome to Anupam Cares, Chapter 13, Carving Your Own Path. You know, when you are young, there's often that one person that you idolize. The one person you want to be when you grow up. For me, that person was my grandfather, Pandit Amarnath Kher. And in a way, I'm still trying to be him. Growing up, I thought my grandfather was a saint. He was the most disciplined person I had ever known. And once he created a schedule, it could not be changed. For instance, my grandfather did yoga every day, and he could bend his body and hold all sorts of difficult positions, including the Shirshasana, the yogi headstand. No one in my family could do that. As I told you, my grandfather was incredibly committed to his schedule. So imagine this. If I or my little cousins needed to talk to him while he was doing his headstand, he wouldn't come down to listen to us.
Dadaji.
Instead, we would have to plop down onto our backs, shimmy up to his forehead, and tilt our heads up to talk face to face.
Dadaji. Dadaji. Oh.
Whenever his friends or neighbors happened to drop by and saw us chatting like this, they would burst into laughter. But even this couldn't break my grandfather's concentration. I have so many wonderful memories of him, but perhaps the thing I loved most about my grandfather was the way he told stories. My whole family would sit in a circle around him as he stood delivering tales about everything. Faraway lands, heroes on quests, tragedies, comedies, romance. And no matter what story he was telling, it always ended with a moral. I learned more from those stories than I ever did in school. Which may say something about me as a student, but I think it says more about him as a teacher. Of all his stories, though, my favorites were always the ones he told about his life. And this is one I think about a lot. Right around the time I was born, my grandfather was working as a civil engineer. And he had just landed an important project. He was tasked with constructing a helipad that would open up Shimla to more tourism and medical services. As he told it, my grandfather was very excited about the project. He believed in Shimla's future. Then, when he was interviewing contractors, one of the contractors offered him a bribe. 30,000 rupees. 30,000 was a huge sum in the 1950s. Now, you probably know from the way I have described my household, but my grandfather was not a rich man, and his family was growing. That amount of money would have meant a lot to him. It would make feeding all those mouths and keeping a roof over our heads quite a bit easier. For many people, it would be tempting. But not for my grandfather. The very next morning, he marched into his boss's office and placed a resignation letter on his boss's desk. "What is this?" his boss asked. "Are you unhappy in this position? You're one of my best engineers and I just assigned you the helipad project." My grandfather said, "Sir, I have been bribed by a contractor." At this, his boss waved his hand. "Oh, Panditji, why are you telling me this? I do not care which contractor you use, as long as the helipad is made, and why shouldn't you make a little extra money on the side? You work hard enough, and God knows, I don't pay you enough." My grandfather stood firm. "No, sir, I did not accept the bribe." Somehow that only confused his boss more. "I don't understand. What is the problem?" My grandfather took a deep breath and said, Sir, today my family and I are getting by. We are not in a need of more money to live. But what if someday we are struggling to get by? And I do need more money to provide for my family. And what if that day I am offered a bribe? Then I would struggle to reject it. When his boss didn't understand, my grandfather tried to explain it another way. Sir, my most successful projects were successful because I hired the best contractor for the job. Sometimes these were young contractors, just starting out. They barely had 2 paisa to rub together. But if contractors are only awarded work because they can give the largest bribe, it's an unfair system. The new contractor will lose every time. And I never want to hold a job where I may be tempted by bribes. I always want to know that I am making my own decisions, the right decisions. His boss rolled his eyes. Oh, Pandit ji, don't be a hero. But my grandfather had already turned to walk away, and he never looked back. More than any of my grandfather's other stories, I think this represents him the best. His beliefs were unshakable. He was determined to do the right thing even when it was the hard thing. And even though I'm an adult now, he is still the person I look up to. He is still the person I want to be. There's another story I want to tell now about a man who might be almost as determined as my grandfather and certainly as committed to doing the right thing. His name is Darshat Manji. And I think if my grandfather had known his tale, he would have shared it with the family at story time. Back in the 1950s, the little village of Gehlaur was very isolated from the rest of India. Located in the middle of Bihar, Gehlaur was nestled between the treacherous Gehlaur Hills. So if you wanted to visit the market or trade goods or go to a doctor, you pretty much had no other choice than to hike the narrow cliffside trails to reach the next town. It was just the way of life in Gehlaur. One day in 1959, a woman named Falguni Devi was walking along this dusty path when her foot slipped out from under her. The world suddenly became a blur as she tumbled down the mountain. When her husband, a laborer named Dashrath Manji, discovered her, Falguni was barely clinging to life. She needed help. But the nearest hospital was all the way around the mountain, roughly 35 miles. It would take Manji 2 days to get there on foot. But there was no other way. So Manji carried his wife and traveled as fast as he could. But the distance was too great. And Falguni passed away. Manji was heartbroken. He cursed the mountains that had stolen his wife's life. And he vowed her death would not be in vain. Then he became obsessed with an idea. If that path had just been shorter, if they could just have cut through the mountain instead of going around it, maybe Falguni would still be with him. Once he arrived back home, Manji sold his most precious belongings, his 3 goats. With the money, he bought a hammer and a chisel. And in 1960, he began taking his anger out on the mountain, slowly chipping it away. The villagers laughed at him. It would take a dozen lifetimes to reshape the mountain with such rudimentary tools, they said. Everyone dismissed him as a grieving madman. They made jokes about him. They called him the mountain man. But Manji didn't care. He knew there was another path, a faster path, through the mountain. And so he worked. Each day he woke up, went to the mountain and chiseled until this giant peak was just a few millimeters shorter. As he worked, he thought to himself, slowly but surely, he would bend the mountain to his will. Weeks blurred into months. Months blurred into years. And through it all, Manji kept hammering. And as the villagers continued to laugh, 5 years passed. And then 10 years passed. Then 15. But slowly, with the passage of time, something began to change. It was the landscape. The people of Bihar began to see that Manji was actually carving his way through the mountain. And those same villagers who had spent years laughing at the mountain man, they started to help, bringing him food, water, and spare tools. Then in 1982, after 22 years, the sound of the chiseling stopped. Standing at the base of the mountain, Manji looked upon his creation and smiled. Driving down a total of 30 feet, he had carved a 300-foot-long path. At some parts, the trail was 10 yards wide. But the most important number was the distance between Bihar and the hospital. With that new stretch of trail, Manji had reduced the distance from 35 miles to just 9. Suddenly, Gehlore wasn't so isolated after all. 3 decades later, the local government finally got around to paving the path, freeing up the road to small vehicles. And when Manji died of bladder cancer in 2007, he was no longer being treated as a pariah. He was celebrated as a hero. Today, there is chatter that a new medical center near Bihar will bear Manji's name. If that happens, it would be an appropriate tribute. It's impossible to know how many lives his shortcut has already saved. A legacy literally carved in stone. That's it for today's episode. I'm Anupam Kher. Be kind to yourself. And thank you for listening. Anupam Kher is a production of iHeartRadio. I'm your host, Anupam Kher. Our executive producer is Mangesh Hathikudur, senior producer Julian Weller, associate producer Morgan Lavoy, sound design and mixing by Julian Weller and Dan Bauza, music by Aaron Kaufman, production support from Emily Marinoff and Mary Dew, writing by Lucas Riley, Matt Riddle, Morgan Lavoy, and Julian Weller. Lucas Riley and Matt Riddle are our story editors. Thanks to Sikin Paru, Herman D'Souza, Godwin Amana, CDM Studios, Connell Byrne, and Bob Pittman. Oh, Dadaji.